Armed Forces of the United Nations, the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America, presents the Sports Interview. Hello, men. This is Private Joe Hassel, USA, with another Sports Interview. Our guest on this program is from baseball's Hall of Fame, John Peter Wagner of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, where does the name of Honus come in?
Well, the name of Honus comes in like this. When I was a young fellow, of course, everybody had nicknames, and they'd call you anything. And, of course, my name being John, they abbreviated to Honus, which is part of John in German.
Well, did you always play shortstop, Honus?
No, I never always played shortstop. I generally played everywhere, because here's the way that happened to me, that I could play anywhere. We had four teams in our little town, which is Carnegie, PA, and I was just a little bit too young to play with our team on the north side, and my brother said, listen, you try to play all those positions. He says you can catch on with some other club, maybe in the west end, or east end, or south end. So that's the reason I learned to play all those positions, and I played them all in the big league. And I just caught one game for the big leaguers.
How'd you happen to take up baseball as a profession anyway?
Well, my brother happened to be a ball player ahead of me, and of course I was working out with him all the time, and he got me my first job at Steubenville, Ohio. He was playing with Steubenville, and the manager said, forget me and bring me along to Steubenville. So he sent me a wire and a telegram, offering me $35 a month. I showed this telegram to some of the boys around town, and they said I ought to have more money. So immediately I wired back to Steubenville, Ohio, and I said, I'll come for 40. Back came a telegram, come for 35 or stay home. I got on the next train that happened to pass through Carnegie. It happened to be a coal train. And the conductor, his name was Joe Chambers, and he said you could come down to Steubenville on the coal train. And that's how I happened to start out in baseball.
When was that, Honus?
That was in 1895. That year, I played with Steubenville, and after about 2 weeks, the team broke up. Then I went to Mansfield, Ohio, and from there I went to Adrian, Michigan. And from Adrian, Michigan, I went to Warren, Pennsylvania, in the Illinois League. That was the four teams I played with that year.
Well, I know it's asking you to go way back, but just how'd you do in your major league game, the first one you ever played in?
First one I ever played in was at Louisville, Kentucky. I belonged to Louisville then. And we played again with a team from Washington. And I happened to just get one hit in that game. And the pitcher against me was Kid Nichols. He'd formerly been with the Boston team.
What year was that?
That was in 1897.
And was Louisville, what league were they in then?
Louisville was in the Major League. There was only one league at that time. In other words, it's a National League. There were 12 clubs in the league at that particular time. And since that, in 1900, rather, Louisville, Washington, Baltimore, and Cleveland dropped out and left the National League as it is today.
You know, Honus, you seem to make a specialty of 2 and 3 base hits. Any reason for that?
Well, about the only reason I can give is this. When I'm up there at the bat, I'd figured it out one time about the best way to hit and get what you call a percentage out of your hits. I figured to hit down the third baseline, if the ball was outside, to hit down the right field line. My object was this. If I hit the ball down the line, there'd only be one outfielder in left field chasing the ball. If I hit it down the right field line, there'd just be one outfielder in the right field line. Because if you hit a ball in left center, or right center, you've got those two outfielders chasing that ball, and that'd give me a percentage. And any time you hit a ball down the line, you can get 2 and 3 bases out of it. And that was the reason that I hit so many 2 and 3 base hits.
Well, I think I ought to tell the fellas, Honus, that you led the league in 2 baggers in 1900, 1901, 1902, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you led in triples in 1900 and 1903, and in 1905 you hit 363. In 1908, you led the National League with home runs. How many did you hit?
Well, my man, did I hit to lead the league? 10. Well, that didn't seem a whole lot, but before that, we had a little player playing for us by the name of Tommy Leach. He led the league with 6. Well, that wasn't so bad.
How about plays, Honus? You've seen many of them, but is there one that stands out in your mind as the strangest you've ever seen?
Yes, there's one that caused a lot of trouble, a strange play, and it happened to be myself. That really caused plenty of trouble. I happened to hit a ball between left center, and this time it got by that outfielder. And he kept chasing the ball, and I ran around the bases. I tried for third, and the throw was coming in to get me, and it was very, very close. The ball got there to the third baseman's glove about the time my feet hit his glove, and the ball bounced out of his hand, went under my arm, and I jumped up and started for home with the ball under my arm. Of course, I wasn't going to leave it drop out of there if I could help it. The ball being round, when I got near home plate, the ball dropped out, and here the third baseman and pitcher and the shortstop were looking everywhere for the ball. He even lifted up the bag to find it. And finally, somebody saw the ball in near the home plate, and after a lot of arguments for about near half an hour, the umpire decided I was out. He didn't see what I'd done with the ball or anything, but he said I must have done something with it or couldn't find it. So that caused a lot of rumpus there, and of course, protest to the president of the National League, and finally we got it all squared out. I was out.
Well, now you've told about one you've been in. How about one you may have seen, Honus?
Well, about the strangest one I'd saw happened to be playing in Pittsburgh, New York and the Pirates. And come along in the ninth inning, and I happened to be on first, and they had us beat one run. Jack Miller, our old second baseman, come to bat, and there was a storm coming up. Everything commenced to get dark, and a slight rain, and the lightning was flashing. And this Jack Miller gave me the hit-and-run sign, and I started running. Here, he hit a line hit over there in what they call right center. Jack Murray of New York raced over that. He didn't see the ball hit at first, but out come a great big flash of lightning. And Murray raced over and jumped up in the air and catched that ball with his bare hand just as a flash of lightning come up, and then everything was dark. But enough for the umpire to call a batter out, and the game was over.
Do you think the game was rougher in your day than it is today?
Well, I think it was a whole lot more rougher in those days when I first started out. I'll tell you, a young fellow didn't have much of a show. I remember playing Louisville when I first started out. I couldn't even bat in batting practice. I was playing regular every day, but the old-timers told me to get out of there. I had no business batting. And another thing, we'll go along and say this way. We take one time that was playing against Chicago. Played them a series of three games. They beat us two out of three. And they mussed us up. They spiked us and throwed balls at our head and done a lot of things. So the next trip, Chicago come to Pittsburgh. Our manager got all the players in the clubhouse. He said, listen, lock all those doors. Put everybody out of here that don't belong to the ball team. He said, I want to give this team a pep talk. After everything was quiet, he said, listen, boys, this Chicago team's coming here today. He said, we got to beat those fellows if we want to get anywhere in the race. We got to beat them. Remember what they done to us in Chicago in that last series? How many of you fellows, he said, got hurt? 11 fellows got up and said they got hurt in that three-game series. All right, he said, now listen. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to offer $100 to the guy who does the most damage to that Chicago baseball team. So our pitcher for that day happened to be Hired Canlitz. He got up and said, listen, manager, he says, I can't hit or get on bases, but I'd like to get in on that $100. The man says, well, you figure your way out. He says, I've got to figure it. The man says, what is it? Well, he says, I'll get one strike and no balls, or two strikes and no balls on the batsman. Then he says, I'll throw two at his head. The man says, that's fine, go to it. Well, after a little pep talk like that, he said, now listen, boys, go out there and get them. And he said, if I catch any of you fellas talking nice to those fellas, if you don't cuss them, he said, even cuss them, he said, but if you talk nice or say hello to them, I'll fine you $100. So after his pep talk was over, the boys that had new shoes put on new brand spikes, and those that didn't have them got out files and sharpened them up. And I said, go out and get them, boys. Now, that's the way the teams of the old days used to get out and talk before a game. They do the same thing now, like manager McKechnie of the Cincinnati Ball Club. He gets his team in there and he gives them a little pep talk. But it don't run like that. Here's the way the talk goes. He'll say, now listen, boys, we're going to play that Pirates today. Now we'll have to get after him. He said we want to get to all their weakness. Now here's the first batter up. We'll say Pete Koskarot, for instance. He'll say, well, now, the pitcher, says the pitcher, how are you going to pitch to Koskarot? Well, he says, I'll pitch that fella high outside. Well, he says, what's your reason? Well, he said, if I could make him hit to right field, he don't hit the ball so hard as he can hit it out in left center or something like that. And then he takes up all the players of the Pirates and goes down and tells the pitcher says he's going to pitch this way. The reason he says that, so the outfielders and infielders can move in the direction where he's going to try to make the batter hit. After it's over, McKechnie says, now go out and get them, boys. Play them hard and play them fair. The boys go out and talk to each other, and they say to Elby Fletcher, how about chew tobacco, Elby, and so forth, and they mix together. In former years, you couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hollis, you've been in lots of games. Is there one game that you think was the best you ever played?
Well, I don't know whether I'd say it's the best I ever played, but happened to get more satisfaction out of it than any game that I'd ever played in. And that happened to be the last game in the World Series in Detroit in 1909. That was a deciding game. We'd been both won 3 games apiece and was coming down to the fourth one to see which was going to be the winner of the World Series. And that really was a tough game and a great one for us because we win the game 8-0. And, of course, naturally, I thought that was really the best game that I had ever played in and made us world champions, and besides putting about $5,000 for each ball player in the winning side.
Well, that was the World Series that saw you make 13 putouts at shortstop, and you stole 6 bases in that series.
Well, those bases really were stolen, but I don't think I played very good baseball, even in stealing those, but, of course, I had a method in that. That really was a tough game to play. Here's what happened. We had finished up 8-0 in favor of us, and here's what happened. Our second baseman got spiked above his eye. Our catcher got kicked under the chin. And to cop it all, Bobby Byrne, our third baseman, got his leg broke at third base by one of the Detroit players jumping in when he was behind. And I figured out that that's no baseball and looked like he was just trying to get us, in which we were trying to get them and they were trying to get us. And that started me running bases. And that's the reason I stole so many, because I was going down there, if I didn't steal a base, I was going to get the other fellow the same as getting us.
Well, thank you, Honus Wagner, for being on this sports interview. And here are some of the records, fellows, that Honus Wagner holds. He led the National League in runs scored in 1902 and 1906. He led the league in home runs in 1908. He had the most hits in 1908 and 1910. He led the National League in hitting for 8 years. He scored the most runs, made the most hits, batted 300 or more for 17 straight seasons. He played 100 or more games for 19 straight seasons. He's played in the most games, has the most total bases, the most one base hits, the most two base hits, and the most three base hits. In 2 years, he led the league in runs batted in, and in 5 years, he led the league in stolen bases. And he holds the record for the most times at bat, more than 10,000 times at bat. No wonder Honus Wagner is in baseball's Hall of Fame. And so that's another sports interview for you fighting men of the United Nations. This is so long, but we'll be back soon with another sports interview and another outstanding guest. This program was produced by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.